T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sarah and Vinny on Alice at 97.3.
Alice at 97.3. Sarah and Vinny, Alice's morning show. Who wants $1,000? Magic. M-A-G-I-C. Text MAGIC to 72881 by the end of the hour to win $1,000 in our national contest. That number again, 72881. This hour's code word, MAGIC. Message and data rates may apply. I wanted to quickly mention Scott Capurro. He's got a couple shows coming up here in Vallejo on Friday night at the Empress Theater. That's tomorrow night. And Main Street Brewery in Pleasanton on Saturday night. So our dear friend Scott, he's going to be at our Halloween Secret show as well. He's going to do a quick set for everybody.
That'll be fantastic.
It will.
So our text number is 800-400-3697. We got a few minutes before the movie review. I'll try to read some of the stuff you guys sent in. 408 says, SF has world-famous pizza maker Tony's Golden Boy. Tony's? Golden Boy is also delicious in places like Del Popolo Pizzeria, Delfina. Oh, Del Popolo Pizzeria Delfina.
Well, I didn't eat it at those places.
Little Star.
Pachi's is okay. I don't love Pachi's.
You know what's weird?
Me neither.
But
I don't like deep dish pizza.
Used to love Pachi's. Uh-huh. And I've a couple of the places that I go, the showing, I feel like someone else bought them or something.
Oh.
Like, what changed around here? What happened?
Yeah. It's good. It's fine. And actually, look, there is no such thing as bad pizza. Well, except in St. Louis. Ugh.
Well, what if one of the situations is you've just had to, like, the service hasn't been good?
Yeah.
You're just all, what happened around here?
Mm. Right.
Yeah, I mean, look, whether you love the pizza or don't, I've never had a piece of pizza here that I was like, that's the best piece of pizza I've ever had. I just haven't. The best slice I ever had was in Boston.
Oh.
Second best, New York City.
Yeah, New York. Come on.
Mm.
Anyway, we have all the, this is the same person still. We have all the best styles made by top chefs. So lucky to live here.
Yeah. There's great food in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Please don't misunderstand me. I don't think this is known as a pizza town, and I definitely feel like fourth place for pizza. I don't think so.
This is in reference to the story about the tech employees who make good money are delaying having kids because they can't afford it.
Mm.
They live in
the
Bay Area.
Barely afford where they live.
408 says, are they delaying buying $8 coffee and going on lavish vacations and finding the latest the latest electronics? That is one thing that I would say is probably true, is that they can't have the kids without a significant hit to their lifestyle. And that's...
Yep.
A perfectly valid reason for deciding we can't afford kids.
Right.
So
not
you're right.
We want to keep living like this.
You might be correct in that. Sure, they could figure it out. A lot of belt tightening might make it possible.
Yeah.
But
money,
I think we're talking
time.
About people who are saying, "Oh no, I'm going to still eat out 3 days, three times a day, and you know,
mm-hmm.
and wear the clothes I like, and
sure.
make sure I
keep
get
my
the
gym
newest
subscription
phone.
Going and." Everything. Right, all the things.
707 says, that reminds me of the movie Idiocracy. Rich can't afford kids and the poor just keep pumping them out. Have you seen that movie?
No.
Oh, you. It's.
But I like it.
It's Mike Judge.
Oh, well, I love him.
Right,
Beavis
obviously
and
very funny. Mm. And it is, it points out a lot of
that's Idiocracy.
Things that are very true today. 925 says, oh, Vincent.
Oh, Vincent, what did you do now?
I didn't know my mom's area code was 925, but okay.
That's what I was thinking.
Mom. I love Ray and Evangeline. Sigh. Love.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Another person just spoils it with their text about Ray from Princess and the Frog, so I can't read their text because it's a spoiler.
Well,
maybe no one's seen it. And
I mean,
should.
I haven't seen it. I don't remember.
You saw it?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Sure. Actually, when did that even come out?
I don't know.
I mean, it's definitely one of the newer ones, but it's been out for a while.
No.
Whatever.
We had our first son when I was 19 and my wife was 17. We had two more sons in the next 8 years. Now they are 25 to 34 and we are empty nested. 14 months from retirement, grandson. It was hard work making it happen, but getting to enjoy life with your adult children is awesome.
I'll tell you, the adult children is a bonus I didn't really know about.
2009.
Oh, that's pretty recent. My kids were little though still. An 8-year-old and a 10-year-old. But now they're old, and they're super enjoyable.
You like them?
Yeah. Riley will be 20 this year. Well, he just turned 19, right, in June. So he'll be 20.
I'm going to the speech therapy concert.
Oh, I'm going to it, too.
I'll tell you that right now.
Save you a seat. I think it's only two songs, Vinny.
But that's Yeah Right's band.
Where's that?
It's not planned yet. He wants to go to the open mic thing at the Sweetwater on Monday nights. They let you come in and do two songs.
Oh, they're selling that place out.
At his age?
Yeah.
At any age. Oh, wow. Like kids go in there, old people go in there.
Are you kidding? We got him a fake ID. He's fine.
Cool. Excellent.
Yeah.
Right.
Thanks, Uncle Vinny.
Mm-hmm. There was some fake tattoos and you're all set.
408 says, yes, Sarah. Grew up in the Bay Area and we did have Kimba the White Lion. Loved watching it as well as Marine Boy.
And
other anime cartoons.
Oh, I never heard of
him. I don't know this Kimba, so I couldn't even pick Kimba out of a lineup.
It's a little white lion, and it's anime drawing, so you could probably
pick it up. And what does the little white lion do?
It's a little group of friends, and they, you know, solve crimes in the jungle.
They solve crimes?
I don't know what they do. They just have, like, adventures.
Crimes in the jungle.
Do whatever they do. Try to live. I can't remember what if they had, like, they must have had a nemesis, too, right?
Yeah, who's the bad guy?
I don't know. Racer X was the bad guy in Speed Racer, right?
Yeah, that's right.
He dropped tacks out of his car.
Yeah.
Anything to stop, slow down Speed Racer. God, I used to love those anime. Like, they just have their mouth open. And
all kinds of stuff coming out.
415 says, Vinny, saw Tom Morello at Bimbo's last night, and he talked about having no real guitar talent, but practice like a madman for hours upon hours a day. There is hope for your guitar dreams after all.
Well, if only you had hours and hours
also,
a day.
Also, yeah, I mean, I was going to say that when I had the hours and I had the instrument and I had parents nice enough to buy me lessons, I wouldn't put in the work.
Mm.
So I got what I deserved, which
is... If you could go back in time now and be 14 years old again,
I would say,
you'd be amazing.
Kid, put your time in. It's going to be fine. You just need to do the work.
You know, though, for some people, that's just not how they're going to spend their time. And that's okay, too.
Well, I had the wrong role models. So my role models were punk rockers, and they could barely play their instruments. Some of them could barely play their instruments. It wasn't cool to be too proficient.
Mm.
You just wanted to make noise and be on stage and be cool.
Yeah. Well, you certainly pulled that off.
I don't know that's true.
You did.
Really? Anyway... I think it's so silly that people start buying lottery tickets when the jackpot is an insane amount because it's only worth it when it's 700 million plus. When it's only 33 million, not worth the effort?
It's not that it's not worth it. It's just not top of mind. When it gets humongous like
that. It's all hyped out.
And people start talking about it. It's commercials, guys. You know, ads work.
Right.
When it's big, people go, oh, well, I should jump
in. But that is a good point.
No, oh, for sure. Mm-hmm. But, you know. As it is, I know I'm flushing my money down the toilet. I don't want to do it for only $33 million. But yes, it would be great to win that too.
Mm-hmm.
It's my 50th birthday, and I'm on my way to work listening to you guys. Thanks.
Oh,
no
happy
name.
50th.
From 415. Happy birthday.
We're about to jump into the... Did you want me to do this right now?
I handed you just some shows info on Rudy... At RudyOrtiz.com.
Rudy has gigs on Friday and Saturday mm-hmm. as well.
Oh, damn.
He's at the THC Comedy Show. RudyOrtiz.com, everyone. Or it's Rudy Ortiz.
Thank you very
on
much.
Instagram.
Also known as our friend Rudy.
Our friend Rudy.
Yes, most importantly.
The THC Comedy Show at Blue Dream in Oakland.
Yeah, that's the Blue
night.
Dream Dispensary in Oakland. That's actually going to be hosted by Big T and music by our very own Von the Wizard.
Oh, man. Big T's right outside the door.
Yeah. Actually,
what's
Von,
he doing there?
I'm going to toot his horn right now, but Von actually produced this entire show. So
Vonda.
This is big time.
Vonda, you're such a wizard.
I'm telling you.
When is this? This is
this Friday? Oh, man.
Tomorrow, yeah.
You going to go to that?
Well, Friday I can't, but I could go Saturday if there's one Saturday.
It's Friday.
Saturday.
It's Friday.
It's Friday, bro.
It's totally. He does have a show on Saturday,
right. But it's not the THC.
It's the don't tell comedy thing, though, which means we can't say what who else is playing or right. where it's at. But it's somewhere in San Francisco,
most definitely.
What do people go to RudyOrtiz.com? Go to RudyOrtiz.com.
That's all they got to do. Go to RudyOrtiz.com. Go to my schedule, and boom, you can get tickets right there.
You also have a show on the 24th. Is that Wednesday?
Yes, at the setup in San Francisco.
That's called I Think I'd Be Good at That.
That's a really fun show because that is four people that actually do stand up and then one person that thinks that they would be good at that.
Oh.
And you get to see that one person go on stage and
just utterly fail.
I hope so, because that's what makes it really fun, you know, right. When you see somebody just kind of crumbling, you know. It's just human nature. You just want to watch somebody crumble, or they could just hit it out the ballpark.
Do they go on first or second or
that? I don't know. I hope that they go up first.
So. Oh, I want them to go up last.
No, make them go up first so they could bite the bullet and see what happens. You know, sometimes that's the hardest spot to be in, but that's a fun show too.
All right.
Do you have an intro ready to go?
Look at you.
I'm not doing anything.
You just press play.
Right. You love that.
Human, human, Rudy, Rudy,
Bryn.
He's got to put his name in there.
Got to.
No.
All right, everyone. Here is your review of a film that's just like, I don't know, so nostalgic.
Look
called Mid-90s.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's written and directed by Jonah Hill. It really doesn't star anyone famous, but there is a new upcomer that I want to mention named Sonny Soljak. So this film follows Stevie, who's played by this kid named Sonny, who when the mid-90s was shot, the film was shot, he was actually 11 years old, but in the film he's 13.
Right.
And Stevie...
Wait.
Yeah, go ahead.
In the mid-90s, he was 11, but in the film...
No. In real life, he was 11.
He's actually 11 when they shot the movie.
But he's playing a 13-year-old in the film.
Right. But they shot this then?
Mm-hmm. Last year, yeah, they shot it last year.
No,
so he was 30-something years old when he played a 13-year-old?
No. The movie's called Mid-90s.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's a movie that's coming out this year.
Yes.
The movie's called Mid-90s. It wasn't shot in the mid-90s.
Oh, so it's not set in the mid-90s.
It is set in the mid-90s.
Yes.
Then how is this 11-year-old?
So 11? Yeah, because he's 11. Yeah,
he's
an actor.
Playing a 13-year-old.
Right.
I get it now.
Got it.
Now
right.
Super easy to understand.
11-year-old actor.
Everyone else listening got it.
Am I the only one?
Come on, Hoobie.
Yeah, you are.
Vinny, did you have any trouble with that? Using any trouble with that?
An 11-year-old is playing a 13-year-old. I don't know how else to say it. In the 90s.
You said he was 11 in the mid-90s. I'm like, well, that makes
the movie's called the mid-90s.
Just a cloud of confusion just over
the movie's called Mid-90s.
Right.
Okay.
So when we refer to mid-90s, we're referring to the film,
to the movie. Got
not
it.
The era.
All right. Now I understand.
So easy. As we said, here's your review of mid-90s.
Woo!
Okay. Thank you.
All right out
the
block.
Jeesh.
I can take it. It's
Who's
all right.
Who's getting hot now?
Well, somebody open the door.
The monster.
God, don't wake the monster.
Right.
So Stevie, this 11-year-old who's really 13 in the film, he escapes his troubled life at home by meeting a group of older friends who skate and drink and hook up with chicks.
What does that sound like?
Little kid stuff.
That's Vinny's life story.
13-year-old kid stuff, you know.
Rudy.
Yes.
Everyone in this film is actually a skater.
Right?
None of them are actors. Could these skaters act? Did they pull it off?
Look, the fact that they're actually skaters and Jonah Hill went out of his way to get guys that are actually skaters part of the skating culture, I think he did a great job with that, because that's what made their roles so authentic, is the fact that, first of all, you've never seen any of these kids in any other movies, so that was refreshing in and of itself. But then the fact that they can actually skate, they actually, like, you know, when you're part of like a culture, whether it's skating or hip hop, which heavily influences this movie also, you can just kind of see it in the swag and like the way you carry yourself. And these kids did exactly that. They portrayed the skater culture because they are skaters themselves. So I don't know if they'd be able to knock it out the ballpark like it's some sort of melodrama or some rom-com.
Yeah.
But when it came to this movie,
yeah,
they were perfect for it.
So in the 90s, when you and I grew up, you could speak in a way and say slurs that are no longer accepted in 2018.
Right.
We all said the slurs. We all spoke a certain way in the 90s. Jonah Hill wrote this film and kept the dialogue authentic.
Yes, he did.
To the 90s. Was
so the R word's in there.
The R word, the F word for gay guys. Like, it's all in there.
So many words that
all
we can't repeat anymore.
Was that the right decision?
Most definitely. I mean, but this is, you know, that's my personal opinion. I would never, I don't think that you do anybody any favors when you try to rewrite history. And if you're not going to represent history accurately, then just please leave the room because you're not helping anyone at all. Even if in today's culture, today's society, it's offensive. That's what it was back then. That's, people spoke a little more openly because they didn't have social media. They didn't have Instagram and Twitter. So, you know, that they could
piling on them.
Exactly. So you weren't reprimanded immediately like the way back then, the way you are now. So I definitely appreciate anybody who's going to recount a story of or a period piece and they actually stay true to that time. Because if you don't do that, then you're just lying. You're just a liar and you're confusing people when it comes to history.
So there are two amazing acting moments in this film from this 11-year-old. I mean, I was actually blown away.
Is he an actor?
No,
he's all skaters.
He's also just a skater. Okay.
They're gonna be
the only kid that's an actor. Remember Three Billboards? The boy that played Francis McDormand's son.
Yeah, God, he's in everything.
So he is this kid's older brother who makes his life miserable at home. Miserable. So that's the only actor, but he's so small in the film that he's. It's basically these five skater kids.
Yeah.
So there are two amazing acting moments with Sonny. So. The first is he has a makeout scene with an older girl, and it's his first makeout scene. And then there's another moment where things just look so dire. I mean, so dire. Did this kid sell it? Did you have any thoughts on these moments?
Well, first of all, you're talking about the scene. There's a scene where he's, you know, he's hooking up with the older girl at a party. I mean, that's just such, it's not even just a 90s thing. That's just what young kids do. You're at a party, your parents are out of town, you know, you're drinking, you're smoking, you're having a good time, you're trying to be an adult, and then you and some girl just pop off and have a great conversation, and then one thing leads to another, and you guys are walking down the hallway into a bedroom. I mean, that's that's life. That's life. Ah. You know, no need to dance around it. That's life. 90s, 80s, any period. I appreciated that because it made me think about my youth, you know, and when I wanted to be that kid walking into some room with some girl, you know, and the drinking, that was very accurate. But also what was very accurate was just the fact that, you know, you're talking about some very like dark scenes in the
yeah.
movie. There was a lot of pain in this movie. And the reason that is because it didn't have anything necessarily to do with the 90s. It was a coming of age tale. And that story, the coming of age tale, that's good for any era. Doesn't matter what decade. That's good for any era. So yes, this movie was about the mid 90s, but it was also about a young kid who was trying to find his way through the so-called animal kingdom of, you know, boys and society and the culture that he's a part of. And he's just trying to make his way. And it's about the bumps and the bruises that a young kid gets when they're trying to make their way out of there.
Sum it all up, let me just say this. As I was reflecting on this film, because I've been thinking about it a lot the past 2 days since I've seen it, it's just kind of stayed with me. I realize these kids in this era portrayed, you know, of the mid-90s is pretty much the last generation of kids not addicted to their phones and right. social media.
Right.
And it's such a refreshing thing to see, you know? It's just, not everyone has their phone. Everyone's looking at each other. Everyone's talking. Everyone's like, that's gone, everybody. That whole idea is gone.
We don't do that anymore.
That doesn't happen in society. And then you're watching it and you're like, that's how it was when I was a kid.
Right.
We all talked and looked at each other and nobody was on their phones. We all engaged. If you grew up skating, if you grew up smoking weed and skating, if you grew up smoking weed, drinking and skating, this is the film for you. Even like I've had some moments where I was telling Vinny a little bit about the film and he was describing things that he didn't know were in the movie that were actually in the film. And I'm like, that's crazy that you just said that because that's in the movie.
Because that's
part of the
culture.
Era.
And
yeah.
I was part of that. And I actually, just to credit skateboarders and these kids in the film, a lot of the skateboarding culture is extremely creative and very talented
right.
in other ways than just skateboarding. And I'm not surprised they pulled it.
They
I'm
did.
Not at all surprised.
Anyway, I found it very compelling. It held my attention. I'm surprised I'm giving it such a high score, but I'm giving it 4 Persians.
Nice.
Nice.
Nice. Okay.
You loved it.
I really did. Yeah, because
Wait to hear your interview with Jonah.
The way you can tell if you love a film is if you're thinking about it for days and months after.
So he's not in the film at all, Jonah.
No, he just wrote it and he directed it and I think he did a marvelous job with it.
Yeah.
So here's my thing about this movie, and I want people to understand this. This movie isn't about just the mid-90s. I know that's what it's called. And it's not just about nostalgia, even though they have a lot of music and a lot of references to the 90s, obviously. This movie is, like I said, a coming-of-age tale. But it's also really interesting to see it as a period piece, because in the 90s, there was a time when hip-hop and skateboarding, two sides of the room that didn't really, you know, meet anywhere in the middle, there was a time when they fused. And hip hop and skateboarding were really like holding hands and just kind of walking down the aisle together, right?
Oh, and I really, romantic.
It was a beautiful time, right? And I really think that Jonah Hill went out of his way to capture that moment. You know, you had a lot of old school hip hop. You know, shout out to like Wu-Tang Clan and Big L and all these guys from like the golden era of hip hop. That was like the soundtrack of the movie, basically. And obviously a lot of skateboarding culture. But it was the fusion of those two things that I thought made this movie really unique. And if you were raised in the 90s the way I was, and you kind of spent your adolescence in the 90s and you're coming of age in the 90s, you're going to really appreciate this movie because it's a throwback for you. You know, it reminds you like Street Fighter 2 and arcades and back when CDs were the thing to have. And I mean, it's not that long ago, but at this point in time, it's 25 years ago, mm-hmm. You know? So yeah, for a lot of people, this is going to be very nostalgic and you're going to love the fusion between the skateboard culture, the hip hop culture. Jonah Hill did a marvelous job. The kids were phenomenal. I'm going to give this one the same score as Human. I'm giving this thing 4 piñatas. I had a couple of questions at the end of the movie.
Oh, yeah. I forgot to ask you.
There was a couple of questions that I had at the movie. A couple of things that came up that I don't want to spoil it, but it was definitely worth the price of admission. It was
Alice at 97.3's Sarah and Vinny.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.